At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Okay, so today our mission, it's pretty laser-focused. We're diving deep into Apple's next big attempt to really make this ultra-thin flagship line stick. We're going to be dissecting, you know, the pressure, the technical trade-offs, all the stuff surrounding the rumored iPhone Air 2.
Yeah, and the sources we're looking at today, they're pretty solid, high-quality stuff. The core assessment we're using, it pulls together some recent analysis, plus a major tip from Weibo's digital chat station, actually. And it rates this whole rumor at 70% probable.
70% probable.
Which, right. You know, for unreleased hardware, maybe years away,
yeah. That
70% is, well, it's basically confirmation. It strongly suggests Apple's engineering teams are actively designing this thing. They're evaluating it right now, which means they are absolutely committed, you know, to fixing the really serious market failure of the first one.
Right. Okay, so let's unpack that. The high stakes. Mm-hmm. We really have to start with the original iPhone Air, don't we? Because its story is so key to understanding the sequel. When that first Air came out, I mean, it was rightly hailed as this engineering marvel. It was incredibly sleek, impossibly thin.
Oh, definitely.
And yet it still packed what they called supercharged internals.
Yeah, it was, you know, a masterclass in shrinking components.
Yeah.
To get that signature thinness, Apple basically performed microsurgery inside. They managed to shrink the A19 Pro Logic board down so much, it only covered this tiny area right at the top.
Wow.
Which meant they could dedicate, like, almost all the internal space to the battery. For a phone that thin,
yeah. That
was revolutionary space use.
And here's the big but, right? This is where that engineering brilliance just slammed into consumer reality. Despite all that incredible effort, the original device reportedly had, quote, virtually no demand. Yeah. Apple had to slash production. I mean, you build this engineering masterpiece and nobody wants it. Something went really wrong.
And the sources, they point the finger pretty clearly. That 5.6 millimeter thickness, it looked amazing, sure. But it just didn't excuse not having a second rear camera. Consumers basically felt like, yeah, the design's cool, but it doesn't make up for the functional limits. It crippled the versatility, hurt the sales potential. Any flagship phone needs utility, and just one camera really limits your photo options.
So they pushed form over function so hard it actually damaged the phone's usefulness in the market. Which brings us neatly, actually, to the fix, the core of this deep dive. Section 1, the dual camera solution. The iPhone Air 2 sounds like it's designed specifically to correct that exact mistake. Two high-res main cameras.
It's the obvious move, really. Hmm. But the challenge is doing it while keeping that same 5.6 millimeter profile. That's the tricky part. The rumor, the configuration they're evaluating, is a 48 megapixel fusion camera paired up with another 48 megapixel fusion sensor, but this one's ultra wide.
Okay, hold on. Let's pause on that for our listeners. A 48 megapixel fusion camera. What are we really talking about there? What's the benefit?
Good question. It's essentially a quad pixel setup. So the sensor uses what's called pixel binning. It combines four smaller pixels into one big one. This means you get incredible detail and good light using all 48 megapixels. But maybe more importantly, it massively improves low light shots. It combines the data from those four pixels into a really high quality 12 megapixel image, which is what you usually see. So much better performance all around.
Gotcha. A big step up in capability compared to the original Air's single camera.
Exactly. It directly tackles that versatility and quality issue that, you know, kind of sank the first model.
Now, the tipster, Digital Chat Station, called the evaluation model the iPhone 18 Air. We should probably say the number 18 for 2026. That's not confirmed at all.
No, not really. But the details about the cameras, that's the important bit here. That's what seems solid.
Right. And what's also interesting, design-wise, they seem committed to keeping things looking the same externally.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Even with this huge struggle to physically cram in that second big sensor, the outside look is reportedly staying put. They might not introduce any big visual change, keeping that horizontal camera plateau we saw before, the two cameras just side by side.
That really signals how much they believe in that ultra-thin look, doesn't it? It's the key thing for them, even if it causes these massive internal engineering headaches. But adding another big sensor while keeping it razor thin, that means huge compromises somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Which takes us right into section two, the engineering trade-offs.
And this is where we hit the hard physics of thinness, basically. Chasing that slim profile, like we saw with the first Air, it directly dictates which flagship features you can even include. And the internal evaluation reportedly does not include a telephoto lens.
Whoa, wait a minute. No telephoto? Isn't like advanced optical zoom kind of a standard feature for any premium flagship phone these days? If they're trying to fix the first Air's failure by adding versatility, ditching the zoom, doesn't that feel like repeating the same mistake, sacrificing core function for form, just, you know, a different function this time?
It absolutely raises that red flag. And the reasoning seems purely about space, volume. The sources suggest that telephoto lens hardware, specifically the folded optics, the prism, the whole lens assembly, it just takes up too much physical depth. That hardware apparently went beyond Apple's internal comfort zone for thickness.
Yeah.
It made hitting that 5.6 millimeter target impossible.
So it was a choice between cameras then. They had to sacrifice the deep optical zoom just to gain the ultra-wide option because the ultra-wide camera parts are physically shallower than the telephoto's periscope stuff.
Precisely. They picked the component that fit the design they wanted. Yeah. Simple as that, almost.
Wow.
And even after making that, let's be honest, painful compromise, just adding the ultra-wide sensor still requires huge internal changes, massive internal surgery, really. They're now facing this incredibly difficult task of shrinking the A20 Pro logic board even more than they shrunk the A19 Pro board in the first Air.
Shrinking the A20 Pro even further, that sounds less like engineering, more like, I don't know, like Apple trying to bend the laws of physics just to claw back fractions of a millimeter inside the case. What does that kind of shrinking actually involve for the engineers doing the work?
It's the absolute definition of engineering gymnastics, or like you said, microsurgery on silicon. Shrinking a flagship board like that means pushing component density to the absolute maximum. Every single capacitor, every connection, every tiny pathway has to be miniaturized, rerouted. It's not just about fitting things in either. It brings up huge issues like heat management. You pack all that processing power into a smaller, thinner space. Getting rid of the heat becomes exponentially harder.
Right, thermals must be a nightmare.
Exactly. They have to reclaim every spare micron of space just to fit the new camera hardware and keep that big battery capacity, which, let's face it, was the original Air's only real saving grace.
So if we connect this really intense internal engineering fight to the bigger picture, this isn't just workshop tinkering. This is strategy.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And analysts are backing this up. JP Morgan analysts reportedly confirmed the iPhone Air 2 is definitely in the pipeline. That gives this rumor real financial weight.
Okay.
And maybe even more telling. They're apparently already planning for a third generation Air.
A third one already?
Yeah. Which suggests Apple is really doubling down on this Air concept. They see the first one as maybe a painful but necessary first step to establish this ultra-thin flagship category, no matter the engineering cost.
Okay, so this whole story feels like Apple trying to fix a market problem, that single camera, by just brute forcing these incredibly difficult but still incremental engineering fixes, like shrinking the A20 Pro. But the source material mentioned something else, didn't it? A fascinating external suggestion for maybe finding a better balance between thinness and features. Which brings us to our most critical bit, section three, the unused solution.
Right. This is where we talk about what some sources argue is maybe the real fix Apple isn't doing and why that creates this strategic tension.
The source material suggests that, okay, adding the second camera is good, but a really crucial change Apple should seriously think about for 2026 is using a silicon carbon battery.
And this, honestly, this might be the core insight of this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
Because the implication here is huge. The source suggests this specific battery type could have rescued the iPhone Air. The original one.
Could have rescued it. Wow.
Yeah. It strongly implies the main constraint on that first device wasn't really the A19 chip size itself. It was the limitations of standard lithium-ion batteries squeezed into that 5.6 millimeter space.
Okay, explain the difference. Why would switching to silicon carbon give engineers the breathing room they're currently sacrificing features for?
It comes down to energy density. Huh. Simple as that. Standard lithium-ion batteries use graphite in one part, the anode. Silicon carbon hybrid batteries swap some or all of that graphite for silicon parts. And silicon can hold way more lithium ions in the same amount of space compared to graphite.
Right.
Dramatically more.
Ah, okay. More power in the same space.
Exactly. Or, looked at another way, you can get the same battery capacity from a physically smaller, thinner battery.
Right. So if they'd used this tech earlier, the engineers wouldn't have needed to dedicate, what was it, 70% of the inside just for the battery?
Precisely.
A smaller but just as powerful silicon carbon battery could have created the room they needed for that second camera. Maybe even.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even the telephoto lens they had to ditch without needing to torture the A20 Pro logic board.
That's exactly the implication. Instead of this constant fight to shrink everything else to fit around a standard battery, this new battery chemistry could have provided the needed flexibility right from the start. It basically shifts the burden of compromise away from the processor and the cameras.
That really puts a different spin on their whole innovation strategy, doesn't it? It makes you wonder, are they treating the symptoms or the root cause here? If power and space are the ultimate limits in a 5.6 millimeter phone, and they clearly are then solving the power problem with new chemistry, seems arguably more fundamental than spending fortunes trying to shave tiny amounts off silicon boards.
Well, the current approach, shrinking the A20, that's optimization.
Yeah.
They're optimizing the existing parts to fit the form factor they've already chosen. The silicon carbon idea, that's more revolutionary. It changes the basic math of the form factor itself by giving you more space and power density to play with. It's like the difference between fine-tuning an engine versus inventing a whole new type of engine.
So the iPhone Air 2, then, becomes this device that exists because Apple is totally committed to an external design choice, and they're forcing these heroic but maybe ultimately incremental engineering fixes internally, instead of maybe tackling the problem with a foundational technology shift, like better batteries.
So let's just quickly pull together the main takeaways we've covered for you. The iPhone Air 2 looks like a direct, planned fix for the original's market failure. It's designed to add versatility with those dual 48MP fusion cameras. But doing that requires huge internal sacrifices. No telephoto lens, because it's too deep and mandatory, really tough engineering work, to shrink the A20 Pro board even more.
Mm-hmm.
All of that just to keep that signature ultra-thin design.
Yeah, and what this really means for you, the listener, is that Apple's made its strategic bet crystal clear. That physical shape, that sleek, thin profile, that's the number one feature. They will go to incredible lengths, do incredible engineering gymnastics just to keep it. Even if it means compromises, like losing the telephoto zoom, they're prioritizing that external look and feel over maybe maximizing every possible internal feature.
And that leads us right into our final provocative thought for you to chew on. The source material highlights this tension, doesn't it, between solving a marketing problem, the single camera, with really difficult incremental engineering, like shrinking the A20 Pro, versus tackling a core engineering limit space and power density with completely new tech, like silicon carbon batteries. So looking ahead, where will Apple choose to innovate first? Will they keep chasing the external design, forcing components to fit? Or will they invest more in those foundational internal technologies, the things that could give their engineers the flexibility they seem to really need?
Something to definitely keep in mind as these rumors slowly turn from whispers into, well, actual devices you might hold. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.